This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers and sisters in Islam, may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon you all, and welcome to Transformers. In this episode 6, since we've been discussing in the last two episodes matters pertaining to money, I'd like to discuss in this particular episode the importance of not belittling a little profit. So when we trade, obviously we trade with the purpose of making a profit. And especially in this day and age where greed can become an underlying factor, whether consciously or subconsciously, in how we make business decisions, it's important to remember the way of the pious before us when it came to trade. Ali radiallahu anhu, he used to walk through the markets of Kufa. Kufa was a city in Iraq. And he used to walk with a whip, a type of whip, with obviously the intent of disciplining the traders. And this was for the sake of ensuring that through trade people didn't lose their religion. We know that Islam is not just a religion, but an entire holistic way of life. And thus we have rules and regulations pertaining to trade and matters related to marriage and divorce and custody, and even matters related to judiciary and civil justice and so on and so forth. There's laws in Islam pertaining to all facets of life. And you may have come across a teaching related to Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, in that he used to also give a spot exam to traders entering the markets in Medina to ensure that they don't end up practicing matters related to interest and bringing corruption to the markets of Medina. So he would give them a spot trade and a spot exam related to trade. And if they failed, he would refuse them entry into the markets of Medina until they went and learned the fiqh of trade, so that they didn't bring corruption into the markets of Medina. So Ali, he used to, radiallahu anhu, he used to walk with a whip, and he would tell the traders, احذروا الحق, be careful with regards to the rights of trade and the rights of the traders. And then he would say, if you give haqq its due and give people their haqq, then you will succeed and be saved. And then he would tell them, do not belittle a little profit, because if you belittle a little profit, then you will be forbidden from the major prophet, right? And Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu, who was blessed in his trade. He was a wealthy man and a diligent trader, and he passed away as a billionaire, really, in today's currency. And he was asked, مَا سَبَبُ يَسَارُكُ, what is the reason for this financial standing that you have, this great wealth that you have? And he would say three things. And from the three things he would say is that he would say is or one of the three reasons why I am rich after the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, is that I never belittled a little prophet. I never refused a transaction because the profit from it would be a small amount. And that's what we do sometimes. Sometimes we refuse a sale, even though it makes sense to do it, even though we would achieve other rewards by doing it in helping the buyer as well. We refuse that trade feeling that we would make a greater trade in the future. Now, this is not wrong in and of itself, but from the akhlaq of a Muslim is not to belittle little profit. Because what happens is sometimes you don't make that trade and then the markets turn. And we see this in today's day and age. And when the markets turn, then you end up making a loss. And when greed sort of becomes an underlying value upon which you subconsciously, without realizing, make your deals. And this, not many traders actually revise their ethics, revise their ethos, sort of revise themselves, take themselves to account. Not many traders do this. So without them realizing, they hate greed, but without them realizing, they tend to have a trade philosophy that, without them realizing, does have an attachment to this want for more. Even if we don't call it greed, but this this want for more at any cost. And then you end up doing haram. I mean, today, this FX trading that many people are getting involved in, they get involved in it, and even though it may take care of the hand-to-hand stipulation when trading currencies, so they don't exchange a currency without receiving the counterparty and giving the counterparty. So they're trying to take care of the rules of Islam with regards to FX trade. But then they end up using the concept of leveraging, right? And those involved in it would know what this term means. And it's a form of getting an amount from the program that's allowing you to trade, an amount of money, so that you can exchange higher volumes of the currency and as a result make a greater profit. So what happens is they belittle trading without leveraging and accepting a little profit. Why? Because why should I make a little profit when I can make more? So let me just take the offering from this program that's allowing me to trade. It makes sense because I'll make more money. The deal is right. I will make a profit on the currency trade, and the higher volume of currency exchanged entails a bigger profit. But little do they realize that they're actually entering riba. You're entering interest because the program that gives you this money gives you the money and you have to pay it back, which makes it a type of loan. And then they stipulate a percentage on top that you have to pay the amount back with. So this is riba, and many people don't realize it and they enter into it. And the stimulus for it was that initial concept that why should I make a little profit when I can make a bigger profit? So in essence, they're belittling the smaller profit. So brothers and sisters in Islam, in order to change our lives and transform it, we have to also ensure that our trade is in order. You know, many a time people say that we're making dua to Allah and Allah is not answering our dua, and we have this problem in our life and that problem in our life. And why is this the case? And one of the things, or sometimes it's a marriage issue that they're going through. So what I do is I try and analyze the situation, and when I peek into their transactions, and they get confused that why are you asking us about transactions? We're asking you about dua, we're asking you about a marriage issue that we're having, we're asking you about issues pertaining to our children, why are you asking us about our dealings? And I say that, do you know that one of the reasons why your duas are not accepted is because of eating haram? They say, well, we don't eat haram. Well, okay, you buy halal, and that's good. But if you buy halal with haram money, then that makes the halal haram, right? If your food is haram and your drink is haram, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that your du'as will not be accepted. So now, and your clothing is haram, your du'as won't be accepted. So now you're buying clothes and food which is halal in and of itself with money which you earned in a haram way. This is going to affect other areas of your life. It's going to reduce the barakah in your life. And thus I share this lesson number 6 of transformers, because we want to transform our lives. This lesson is related to not belittling a little profit, because if you do, it may just end up being a means of you losing a greater profit because of you entering transactions that are dubious from a Sharia perspective, that are questionable from a Sharia perspective, and then that will have an overlaying effect in other areas of your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless our trade, forgive our past, inspire our futures. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us a people that transform our lives from the inspirations that we receive. Ameen. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Until next time, Salamullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu wa barakatuhu.